And so I draw your attention now back to Mark 10. You remember a few weeks ago on Palm Sunday, we were in Mark 11. And I purposely aligned Mark 11. I wanted to skip ahead so that it would fall on Palm Sunday. But now I want to backtrack to a story, to an event, an episode in the life of Christ that I certainly do not want to pass by. This is remarkable. This is fascinating. It's just a phenomenal story of Jesus. Of course, a true account of Jesus healing of a man that whose name we are probably familiar with. And we are going to learn a great deal about blind Bartimaeus today. A fascinating figure in the Gospels that I want to draw your attention to. So may the Holy Spirit illuminate our understanding this morning as we read Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. And the word of the Lord says, "Then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him here.' So they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you.' Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, I want to regain my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go. Your faith has made you well.' Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road." Let's pray for our time of worshiping through the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, the author of our salvation, the author of the Word of God about which we are going to hear right now and learn. We ask, O Lord, that you would allow the Spirit, your Spirit, to help us gain a better understanding of this account of Bartimaeus here, and that we would see the all importance, the grand importance of what it means to cry out to you for mercy as we see our friend Bartimaeus, blind and begging, doing as you were passing him by on the roads of Jericho. Lord, we notice that we all are beggars. We're all, those of us who are in Christ, were once blind, but now we see only because of your great mercy bestowed upon us. We thank you for this word, and we would ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would bless the preaching of it. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, we now come to this ending part of Mark chapter 10. In fact, we come to the final healing that is found in the Gospel of Mark, the final healing. We aren't going to see any more healings like this in the Gospel of Mark. And as we read through this, you can see that this is a warm and fascinating account of a blind beggar who Jesus mercifully heals and saves. And in response to what Jesus did to Bartimaeus, the man, in return, immediately chooses to follow Christ as his disciple. This man, Bartimaeus, even before you'll see, before he receives his physical sight, he has such astounding insight into the person and work of Jesus Christ. This account is about a man who has one chance. One chance as Jesus is walking by in Jericho to cry out to Jesus for mercy. And Bartimaeus takes his chance with gusto. He takes his chance with gusto. He thinks about what we read this morning in the beginning of the service from Isaiah 55, verse 6, to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. This is a chance that none of us should pass up before it's too late. This chance to call out to God for mercy, to call out to God to save you, to heal you of your sins, and to receive full pardon to be yours in Christ Jesus. And as the Word says today, if you hear his voice, as we do through his Word, don't harden your hearts. We are to, as Bartimaeus does, run to Christ for salvation. We are not to allow, and we shouldn't let the clamorous voices of our time stop us from crying out to Jesus for mercy. May we jump to him and run to him while you still can. For the Word says, all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be what? Saved. And what we find in our passage today is Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, doing such a similar thing. And we see the gravity of the matter right before us. And he sees the gravity of the matter before him as Jesus is walking by. And so today you are going to see five marks of what it looks like for a humble, needy, penitent, believing sinner to cry out to Jesus for mercy. And we're going to see this in the person of blind Bartimaeus and how we can learn from this man and about Jesus' phenomenal mercy for depraved sinners who cry out to him for mercy. And we're going to see this in this captivating episode right before Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem to die on a cross, and as he said in verse 45 of chapter 10, to give his life as a ransom for many. Where do we find ourselves in our passage today? Well, a well-known spot, in fact, a significantly biblical area called Jericho, one we're all familiar with. A story happened there where the walls came tumbling down in Jericho as the Israelites crossed the Jordan at the leadership of Joshua. It's a well-known spot. We don't see it often in the Gospels, but we see it here. We see Jesus coming into Jericho, in Jericho, and leaving Jericho. I've been to Jericho. It's an extremely hot, arid place at the bottom of the Judean mountains. It is extremely hot, mostly all year round, over 100 degrees. It's dusty. It's hard to breathe. But it's one of the oldest cities in the world, and this is a significant area in which we find ourselves today. Remember, Jesus is setting his face like flint to go on the way to Jerusalem, where he will spend the final weeks of his life preparing to go to the cross. And Jericho is about 17 miles northeast of Jerusalem, and it is a treacherous journey from Jericho to Jerusalem. And here in Jericho is where we find Jesus coming across this man on the dusty streets of Jericho. So the first mark that we see that I want you to take notice of is in verse 46. First, we see the miserable condition of blind Bartimaeus, And we come across this pathetic, miserable, dejected blind man. But there's something amazing about him. He is the only person in the Synoptic Gospels whom Jesus heals who has a name. Matthew tells us that there were actually two blind men in this account that Jesus healed. But Mark and Luke focus on one man, and it's only Mark who provides us the name of this most vocal and active man. He's a fascinating character. And the name we are given by Mark is Bartimaeus, a word that many of us have used before. In fact, many scholars have worked significantly hard to try to figure out more about this man, Bartimaeus. Some have thought that he was a significant character after the church began, or maybe a leader. We're not exactly sure, but we do know that his name simply means son of Timaeus. And Timaeus means honor. And so his name technically means son of honor. And this son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, is about to cry out for mercy to Jesus Christ, the son of David. Because of Bartimaeus' condition of being blind, he was marginalized and he suffered horribly and was, because of his condition, unable to find employment, and therefore he was forced to shamefully beg on the dusty, hot, arid streets of Jericho. Now, his life as being blind and a beggar certainly didn't match his name, son of honor. And he was instead dishonored as beggars, as blind people back then were. He was dishonored. In fact, the Jews would have considered him unclean. But we will shortly see that the Son of David, Jesus Christ himself, honors Bartimaeus in a most remarkable, life-changing way. Now notice that Bartimaeus was sitting. The common posture of a man blind and begging for food or money or for whatever he can get to make a living. And as is expected, you don't often see a blind man walking as much as someone who has sight. As you can imagine, walking without sight is filled with lots of hazards. Imagine the miseries. Just imagine the miseries and the utter difficulty of being blind. And not only the dangers of not seeing where you are or where you are going, but also not being able to enjoy the colors of life and seeing your loved ones and taking in the wonders of God's creation. For the blind, for those who are completely blind, it's pitch black all the time. And therefore, they run into things frequently. They often are, because of their condition, dejected and filled with anxiety and in humiliating circumstances. I remember I had a close friend in New York City who was partially and legally blind. And one time, and he was married. He was in Midtown Manhattan near our church. And his wife and he were together at the church. And his wife went out on the streets to some store to go buy something, and he went out afterwards, and he was walking down the street, and there were lots of people, and he thought he saw his wife from a distance, and he ran up to her and gave a huge bear hug, to his horror, that it wasn't his wife. It was some other woman who cried out in fear and trembling. Now, while that is funny, I mean, that's just an example that we can somehow relate to for those of us who aren't blind, that being blind, such as Bartimaeus, is a very, very challenging circumstance to be in. And it's hard to cope with. Just, not right now, but maybe later, try closing your eyes for more than 5 minutes, walk around, try to get things done, and you can imagine the challenges and frustrations a blind person such as Bartimaeus is experiencing. And then, along with that is the vexing reality that it's harder to get along in society with others and have meaningful relationships and having employment or not. But the fact of the matter is, returning to blind Bartimaeus, although he could not see with his physical eyes, he was given such remarkable insight to spiritually see with his heart. Unlike so many of those in the crowds even who were following Jesus to Jerusalem, and especially the religious leaders, and even at times Jesus' chosen disciples, especially as the last couple chapters we've been seeing, they were having a hard time figuring things out about Jesus. And so as we see here, Bartimaeus is representative of the miserable condition of really all of those who are spiritually blind in their sin and spiritually blind without God and walking in darkness and yet have an overwhelming sense of their desperate need for Christ. And this is what we're going to see next, our second mark about blind Bartimaeus, and that is the extraordinary insight of blind Bartimaeus in verse 47, the extraordinary insights of blind Bartimaeus. Now, we can imagine the noises of this large crowd as they were gathering together as Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem and doing healings and miracles and still teaching. And while Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road, this loud, noisy, clamorous crowd must have stirred him and jolted him. And many Jewish pilgrims would have been passing through this way, most likely going to Jerusalem to partake of the Jewish feast, the Passover. And Bartimaeus, according to Luke's account of this, he inquired, "What's going on here?" And someone told him, "Jesus is walking by." Now, by what Bartimaeus says, we know that by hearsay, he knew who Jesus was and what he was capable of doing. No doubt hearing about the miracles and the healings that Jesus has been doing up in Galilee and even in Jerusalem, causing Lazarus to rise from the dead and the blind man in John 9 to regain his sight miraculously. And upon hearing those reports, Bartimaeus was dying to meet Jesus. But, of course, due to his handicap, he was prevented from doing so. But now Jesus was walking by. And not a second went by that Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus. He knew this was his chance. He could have easily missed it since Jesus didn't usually stay in one spot for too long. We see in Mark that he was constantly moving and teaching from one place to the other. So he did what? Bartimaeus cried out in a loud voice. This was a voice of intense desperation. Intense desperation. He knew Jesus was the only one. The only one. Like the woman who was bleeding and hemorrhaging for 12 years who went to Jesus. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was the only one who could heal him, rescue him from his dire predicament and his despair. And he had to be louder than the boisterous crowd. He had to get the attention of Christ immediately. But this is what's intriguing here. The way Bartimaeus addressed Jesus is unique. And although he had some significant eye problems, he had amazing insight. He had amazing insight. He might have been physically blind, but he had spiritual perception. First, he called Jesus by his name. Of course, we're very familiar with this name, Jesus. Yeshua, Jesus in Greek, which we know to mean Savior, one who saves. The word Jesus, the name Jesus, is the Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua, which also, of course, means Savior or Yahweh saves. And we know that in the beginning of Matthew's account in chapter 1, verse 21 of Matthew's Gospel, it explains that Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For why? What reason? He will save his people from their sins. This is the ultimate reason for why Jesus came. To help and save helpless sinners, those who are needy, those who cry out to Jesus for mercy, for salvation. To save them from their dire predicament of the guilt and penalty, and the death of sin, and the wrath of God to come, which God will mete out on all who remain unrepentant in their sins. In Jesus Christ alone, the one whose name means Savior, is found mercy, forgiveness, and grace. We know that the tax collector in Luke chapter 18 knew this without a doubt, for he cried out to the Lord, "Have mercy on me, the sinner." It's sinners who need to be saved from their sin and the imminent judgment to come. And Bartimaeus, by calling out the name of Christ, the name of Jesus, knew that he is the Savior, the only Savior. He seemed to see this. But there's something also significant about Bartimaeus' insight here. Not only did he cry out, "Jesus," but he attaches to Jesus' name a messianic title to Jesus' name. In fact, Bartimaeus, in the Gospel of Mark, is the only person besides Jesus in Mark chapter 12 to use this title in the entire gospel. So it must be important that Bartimaeus is saying, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. That designation, son of David, had huge implications for the Jews. They anticipated that their Messiah would come from the royal line of King David, something that I've shared with us a number of times, which comes out of 2 Samuel 7, where God, through the prophet Nathan, is speaking to David and says, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. From that moment on, the Jewish nation was expecting the son of David to come. Because we see the expectation continuing all throughout the Psalms, all throughout the prophetic books. And during the time of Christ, messianic expectations were at an all-time high. Therefore, Bartimaeus not only yelled out Jesus, which that name alone has so much meaning, but he said, Son of David, Son of David. And so Bartimaeus considered Jesus to be the coming Messiah who could save and who could heal. Because the Old Testament, in places like Isaiah, tell us that this anointed one, this Messiah, would do some spectacular things such as healing the blind. In fact, Isaiah 35 verses 4 and 5 says this, Say to those with an anxious heart, Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. In the Hebrew, that means Joshua. That's the language that's being used. He will save you. And then it says this, Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Even Jesus quoted this passage when he was reminding John the Baptist when he was in prison about what he was doing as the coming one. Not only did Bartimaeus know that Jesus could heal because of Jesus' significant popularity in the land of Israel, but also because the scriptures say so, that this coming one would and could do such miracles. And therefore he wailed out in a loud voice, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Mark, as we've been going through the past 10 chapters, has been presenting Jesus as this Savior, this messianic figure, by showing Jesus healing people and casting out demons and releasing people from their bondage to Satan and sin. And then, as we already saw a few weeks ago on Palm Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem on a humble donkey, exhibiting that he is this long-expected Davidic king prophesied about in Scripture. So this is critical stuff. And who's the one calling it out? A blind beggar. A blind, ordinary beggar that Jesus is the promised one who was to come. And unlike other times when Jesus would silence people so that they wouldn't go out and tell them who he is because he didn't want false expectations of who he was as the Messiah, he allowed this time blind Bartimaeus to yell out to all the crowds exactly who he is, and he did not shut him up. He is the Messiah. And the question is, do you have this extraordinary insight? Are you privy to the truth that Jesus is who he said he is and who he demonstrated himself to be, as Josiah said, fully God and fully man, who came to die on the cross for your sins, who he is and what he has done? Now I want you to take notice not only of his miserable condition or his extraordinary insight, but number three, the humble persistence of blind Bartimaeus. The humble persistence of blind Bartimaeus. And you'll see that in verse 48, because many in the crowd were not just telling him, be quiet, but sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy to me. They did not like his loud cries. They wanted Jesus to ignore him, but he kept shouting all the more. See, when you know that you are in a miserable condition of sin, just like Bartimaeus, you must continue to cry out to Jesus for mercy. You must not allow the clamoring, dissenting, evil voices of our time to shut you up. Jesus hears your cry, and that is exactly what we see here in Bartimaeus. His faith is on full display as he continues to cry out, not caring one bit what the crowds say. Mark records that Bartimaeus said it two times. I imagine him saying it over and over. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was persistent. He was like the widow in Luke's account who kept going to the judge in order for him to have mercy on her. And yet Bartimaeus was humble. He knew he needed mercy. He urgently needed help. And so he desired Jesus to have compassion on him, sympathy upon his dire condition. And he knew Jesus alone could release him from his hopeless, pitiful circumstance. So Bartimaeus did what you and I should do when we find ourselves in the inky darkness of life. Persistently cry out to the only one who can save you and have mercy on you and help you. The only one in heaven who hears your cries, hears your prayers, hears your wailings. The only one who has compassion and mercy and grace and unending love to pour out on you. Bartimaeus knew he didn't deserve it because mercy is undeserved. But he asked anyway for God's grace to heal him. Now we might wonder why more people don't cry out to God to have mercy on them like Bartimaeus did. And the answer is simply this. I mean, do you ever wonder that yourself? As you present Jesus Christ to people in your gospel proclamations, why more and more people don't cry out, I need your mercy, I need your salvation? Well, the answer is simply this. Most people simply don't see how badly they need Jesus Christ and how filthy and how dangerous and how terrible eternal judgment's going to be and how filthy their sins are and how they've offended a holy God and the dire, dangerous predicament they're in and what their eternity holds if they do not cry out to God to have mercy on their sin-sick souls. J.C. Ryle, pastor of the 19th century, said, "Once let a man see his own guilt," and of course he's talking about his sinful guilt before holy and just God, "let him see it as it really is, and he will never rest until he has found pardon and peace in Christ." It is they who, like Bartimaeus, really know their own deplorable condition who persevere like Bartimaeus and are finally healed. Today, if you are blind, if you don't see your need for a Savior, if you don't see your own pitiful condition, then you are blind to the fact of your greatest need. But when you do see that you are blind and that you need a Savior, when one poor, wretched soul does cry out to Jesus for salvation, for help, for healing, what does Jesus do? Verse 49, he stops. He stands still as he did as he heard the cries of blind Bartimaeus. I love this scene. I love verse 49 where it says Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." Jesus, the Son of God, who had an important job to do. You think you have an important job to do. Jesus had to go to the cross to save sinners and was resolutely traveling to Jerusalem. He stopped for this blind beggar. He didn't shrug his shoulders and say, "You know what? I don't have time for this pathetic man. Let's keep moving. Forget him." No, he heard the cries of mercy. He recognized desperation in this man. a desperation that was cloaked in humble, simple faith. He noticed that Bartimaeus was calling him the son of David. Jesus was about to show to all that he is the servant about which he just spoke in verse 45, chapter 10. The servant who came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. This blind man, this deplorable beggar, called out to Jesus, son of David. I mean, no other Jew was doing that. The Pharisees and the Sadducees weren't doing that. They were the blind leading the blind. But what did Jesus do? The Creator, the Maker. He stopped and he stood still, looked at Bartimaeus, and he told others to call Bartimaeus to him. Now, these people who were telling Bartimaeus, shoo, stop. Jesus doesn't have time for you. Now Jesus is telling them, go get him. And they obey. What a privilege. We don't know exactly who they are. Maybe they are Jesus' disciples. We don't know. But they say, take courage. Be encouraged. Stand up. Jesus is calling you. Let me tell you something today. Are you discouraged? I just read an article that over 60% of young people in America today are discouraged and depressed. If you want that discouragement and depression to be dispelled, run to Jesus. For he is the only one who can heal and help you. Hear his voice. Cry out to him for mercy. Aren't you glad, brothers and sisters, that Jesus took notice of you? Aren't you glad that he heard your cries to him and called you? Aren't you glad and thankful that our God is not too busy to hear the cries of us beggars, of us blind people, our cries for salvation, our cries for help? Aren't you glad that he's a merciful Savior? Notice something. Jesus didn't go to Bartimaeus. He summoned Bartimaeus to him. Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, had to rise up and walk to Jesus. I mean, it probably, I don't think so, was far at all. But for a blind man, 5 feet is far. But he still had to get up and walk blind. And Jesus called, and Bartimaeus went to Christ in faith, with full expectation, with absolute elation and exuberant joy that Jesus could heal him. Well, how we can learn from this man. How we can learn from him who joyfully and faithfully went to Christ with confidence, not with doubt. Because in verse 50, what did he do? This is amazing. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. He didn't leisurely get up. He didn't say, I'll get to it. I got to gather a few more coins in my begging employment here. He didn't say, give me some time. I'll get there. No, he threw out his outer garment, his cloak. He didn't want anything holding him back. And he jumped to his feet. I mean, he was thrilled. He couldn't believe that Jesus was summoning him to himself. He leapt for joy, and he wasn't even healed yet. He obeyed Christ's command to go to him. He didn't ask for Jesus to come, but he went straight to Jesus. I mean, the fact that he promptly got up and went to Jesus showed that this man had incredible faith. Because Jesus says in verse 52, go, your faith has made you well. Bartimaeus' prayers were about to be answered. He was about to receive this mercy he was crying about from God. His begging days on the road were about to end. For in verse 51, Jesus answers him. I mean, do you ever find it fascinating that as you go to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the High King of Heaven, and you present your requests and prayers and supplications to him, that he hears you, and not only hears you, but answers you according to his perfect and kind intentions and will for your life? Bartimaeus didn't even say anything when he got to Jesus, but Jesus heard his pleas for mercy. And what do we see? Our fifth mark of blind Bartimaeus. We see his persistence. But now we see, number four, the simple request of blind Bartimaeus, the simple request of blind Bartimaeus in verse 51. "What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus?" And the blind man said, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." "What do you want to do for me? No one has asked me that. I've been begging." Maybe he was begging for most of his life, and now the Son of Man, the Son of God, was asking, "What can I do for you?" A blind beggar? It's just astounding that God answers us, beggars. For that's what you and I are, beggars, and blind and in need of the bread of life and the living waters to fill us and make us see again. Bartimaeus begging all his life, and now the Son of David, Jesus Christ, is asking, "What can I do for you?" Bartimaeus doesn't say, "Well, you know what? If you can, I don't want to put anything as a roadblock, Jesus, but I know you're busy. But could you please, maybe, if you're able, give me sight?" No, notice what he calls Jesus at this moment. Rabboni. Not rabbi. This is a different version. This is a honorific title that, yes, can mean teacher, but it can also mean Lord and Master. It was often used in the Talmud as a Jewish prayer to God. In fact, it's very personal. And he went from calling Jesus Son of David to Rabboni. And he said, "What? I want to regain my sight." What a request. Simple. I want to see. I mean, what a contrast between this man who simply wants to see and all those who have been so blind, spiritually speaking, as they couldn't even see that their own Messiah was standing right before their eyes. What a difference between Bartimaeus' request and the previous request of James and John, who wanted glory and honor sitting at the right hand and the left hand of God in the kingdom. But this blind man humbly cried out to Jesus, probably thinking, "You know what, I've heard of Isaiah 35, that this anointed one can heal the blind, and you know what, I'm blind. Here goes nothing." Do you have this kind of humble faith in Christ? And do you understand his ability? And do you base your faith on his word that he can save you from your sin? He can give you victory, Christian, over your sin. He can help you trust in his perfect will for your life. Do you have this humble persistence and trust like Bartimaeus? Do you have the humility to ask Jesus to open up your spiritually blind eyes so that you can behold the wonders of Christ and his salvation? How many of you today thought that you'd be coming here to church to learn from a desperate, contemptible, blind street beggar who knew he needed Christ? The thing is, all of us, every single one of us, are like Bartimaeus, more than we would like to admit. We are just as desperate, and we are just as needy. But there's something else that we see lastly here in Bartimaeus, something else I want to point out, something that he does immediately following his healing. And number five, that's the immediate discipleship of now seeing Bartimaeus. The immediate discipleship of now seeing Bartimaeus. Verse 52, Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And it says immediately, as Mark always says, immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road or on the way. I mean, Jesus heals him in such an extraordinary yet nonchalant fashion, and Jesus modestly says to Bartimaeus, "Go. Go your way. Be off. Your faith has made you well." And when Jesus said this, Bartimaeus was immediately healed. It's not that there was power contained in his faith that made him well. Like people think we should have faith in faith, or if I just muster up enough faith, you know the story. No, his faith was directed at the correct source of faith, Jesus. His faith was in the one who could heal him. His faith consisted of the accurate belief that Jesus is who the scripture says he is. And although Bartimaeus might have been physically blind, he knew a thing or two about Jesus and his divine power to heal even the most impossible cases like blindness. I mean, no one got cured or treated of blindness back then. I mean, it's nearly impossible today. It's a complex issue. It's very difficult to treat. The eye is significantly complex that even many eye doctors don't have it entirely figured out. But the one who created the eye has it figured out. And by one simple word, go, your faith has made you well. And he was healed completely. What did he do? Luke tells us that Bartimaeus glorified God. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? When Christ healed you, Christian, did you just walk your merry and jolly way and say, I'm saved, that's it. I don't want anything more to do with Jesus. I'm saved. Once saved, always saved, which is true. Once you're saved, you're eternally secure. Let me make that clear. But it's this kind of like I'm saved and there's nothing more that Christ wants from me. There's no relationship that he wants with me. You just kind of walk your own merry way. No, Bartimaeus not only glorifies and praises God, he was probably crying due to his healing. Have you ever seen those videos of colorblind people receiving those glasses that make them see color? Almost every single one of them starts crying because now they can see the realities of life in front of them. Blind Bartimaeus, eyes were open, and the moment he opened his eyes, he saw Christ. How many of you, when you were saved, when you recognized your wretched, miserable, sinful condition, as soon as Christ saved you, you couldn't help but praise him and cry and be so utterly thankful for saving you, poor, miserable sinner, and that you have been made well by God. When Jesus says here, you have been made well, in the original language, it literally means you have been saved. You have been saved. So literally, Jesus is telling Bartimaeus, your faith has saved you. That word saved can surely mean from a disease or from a life-threatening event, but it also, most of the time, means being saved from your sin. What does Jesus' name mean? Savior. And he came to do what? Save his people from their sin. It seems that Mark used this word intentionally to show that not only was Bartimaeus physically healed, but his spiritual eyes were even more open to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. As soon as he could see, he saw the best thing anyone could see, and that's Jesus. It's Christ right in front of him. He saw the Son of David. He saw the one who he was just previously crying out to. But what did he do after that? He followed Jesus on the way, on the road. He didn't just go, like I said earlier, his own jolly way back to his begging. He followed Jesus. He went from sitting on the side of the road, blind and begging, to following the one who opened up his eyes. He went from being on the road, blind, to now eyes wide open and worshiping. He became Christ's disciple. I like to think that he went to Jerusalem and saw Jesus hanging on the cross a week later, dying for his sins, thinking, my eyes were open physically, but now I know what Jesus came to really do. Go to the cross and die for my sins. He followed Jesus with joy. This was a man who wasn't rich or pious. He was at the high stratosphere of society, but he followed Jesus, and Jesus let Bartimaeus follow him. Listen, when Christ saves you from your sin and from his judgment and from his wrath and from Satan, he doesn't want you to just go your own way. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to be his forever learner and disciple. He wants you to know him eternally and have an abiding relationship with him. This is what he wants. Not just his blessings, not only his forgiveness, but he wants your life. He wants your obedience. He wants you to grow in Christ likeness. and follow him on the way. See, the worst blindness anyone can ever experience is spiritual blindness. You can have functioning eyes and ears, as almost everybody does here, but if you don't see and hear with faith Jesus Christ and his gospel, then you are spiritually blind. Physical blindness, as terrible as it is, doesn't compare to being blind to your sin and your need for a Savior. When you are spiritually blind, you are blind to the truth that Jesus Christ is God, that he is the image of the invisible God. And like Bartimaeus, someone's physical eyes could be open, and yet at the same time, blindness to their sin and the need for saving grace still plagues them. Israel as a nation at this point was spiritually blind because they rejected their Messiah, as we're going to see later. But today, right now, here and now, there are so many people who are blind. You know people who are spiritually blind, do you not? Maybe today as you're hearing this message, you recognize your blind begging condition. And you are seeing and recognizing that you need to cry out to Jesus for mercy. Do not reject Jesus. Do not reject his gospel. Do not reject his word. As the writer in the book of Hebrews said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation as is found only in Jesus Christ? And Jesus said in John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. My friends, if you are blind today, cry out to Jesus. Cast aside any encumbrance and sin and run to him in repentance for salvation. For he is the only one who can remove the scales from your eyes so you can, like Bartimaeus, see the Savior and what he has accomplished for you on the cross. And for those of us sitting here who have been saved and whose eyes have been miraculously opened by God, let us understand what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so because of that truth, Christians, let us do as Paul did. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. If there's anything I want you to learn today, it's this, and what blind Bartimaeus taught us. God can cause blind sinners to see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Because today, Jesus still stops. He still cares, and he still pours out his mercy on anyone who acknowledges the depth of their sin and who calls on him for grace and mercy. For he's still saving the lost. Amen? He is still saving the blind. He is still saving helpless, pitiful sinners who see themselves as wretched. Call on him while you still have a chance. Humbly cry to him, repent and believe in him. For as the hymn says, he will not pass you by.